Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. I'm here for the opening of the Comedy Mothership in Austin, Texas, and I wanted to borrow a studio, and my agents at CAA were like, you have to call your friend down there and borrow his studio. I think they meant Joe Rogan, but I have another friend down here that I absolutely love, and he's one of the greatest broadcasters of all time. And it's very exciting to be with him. And I'm sure that they're all fine. It's CAA. I'm sure they all love this. What would be wrong with this? Please welcome my friend who needs no introduction, the great Alex Jones.
Tim, amazing. You did an incredible job. So the rest of the folks at the mothership last night. Joe looks like he's in a time machine. He's getting younger while you and I get older.
Yes.
Amazing hanging out with you guys and Roseanne Barr last night.
Yeah. Me and Roseanne look like we're going the wrong way. And Joe looks like he's going the right way.
Well, physically. Roseanne looks pretty good, actually.
Yes.
Compared to me and you.
Well, you know, Roseanne is, she's animated by a force of life.
Yes.
Which is good. And me and you struggle with that. But
you're a sexy guy. Come on.
I appreciate it.
The truth is, we're getting married in Vegas next week.
We're getting married in Vegas, and everyone will support that, I believe, right?
Well, I mean, it's not a joke. We're getting married.
It's going to be...
You and I and Joe had a menage a trois last night.
It's the royal wedding. Yeah, so we were both very out of shape, and he talked to us about that. But this is going to be the royal wedding. Fuck Meghan Markle and that autistic lizard. This is going to be the one... but it's amazing to be here. Thank you for letting me use your studio. Thank you. There you go. Somebody wrote that, Alex. 3/4 of Mount Rushmore. That is pretty hilarious. Me, you, and Roseanne Barr, the dream team, the family. And I put you guys up. I said, you're really starting to grow up when you realize your parents are just people. And you and Roseanne are my parents. But I was watching... you know, so much stuff is said about you that because you're so banned, you can't respond to. And this is like the craziest thing, because I'll watch something and I'll go, Alex should be on his show refuting that. And I know you are, but it's not anywhere that anybody can see. And one of the things that I watched was at January 6th, I watched you tell the protesters to not enter the Capitol, to be peaceful. You said, we're not Antifa. We're not going to burn things down. This is what they want. We're not going to give it to them. That has never been played on mainstream media. They have never played any video footage of you telling protesters to not breach the Capitol, which is literally what happened. And I want to play that clip in a minute. Speaking to you off air, a lot of things are now coming out about January 6th, they changed the picture a little bit from what people thought was that it was just a...
Just a little bit.
And I want to know if you can illustrate some of that for us, because I know that this directly impacts you. It affects you. You were there. You were there to protest what you felt was a sham election.
Anomalies, yes.
Right, election anomalies. You were not there to breach the Capitol, and you were telling your supporters to not breach the Capitol, but there were people in the crowd encouraging violent behavior, agitating, leading, and now it's coming out that some of those people are from an interesting origin.
Absolutely. And it's a giant story, and it's bigger than January 6th for Trump or any of that, whether you love Trump or hate him. You know, I've got a love-hate relationship with him. It's that we had a million people at the Ellipse for his rally on the 6th. Then they said, Alex, lead a march down there. Well, the hundreds of thousands had already gone to the Capitol before I ever got in the middle of it. I said, how do I lead this? So I was telling the crowd, be peaceful. It's a big crowd. All our other rallies have been peaceful. And we get down there, and tear gas is already getting fired, and all this stuff's happening. And I didn't know that out of a million people and hundreds of thousands with the Capitol, that a few hundred attacked police and broke in. And I was up there saying, stop it, don't go in. And then the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, by that afternoon said Alex Jones was there leading the attack, saying attack the Capitol, even though we had the video, but it was only on Infowars.com.
Right.
It was only on Bandai Video. No one else outside of our footage could see that. and know that since then it's gotten on Twitter and gotten tens of millions of views of us there getting huge amounts of people that have been, the doors have been opened once they broke through, waving people back and keeping people from going in. Then I got subpoenaed. I got deposed by the January 6th committee. They were trying to indict me. They did arrest Owen Schroyer and my camera guy, Sam Mateo, that were there with me being totally peaceful.
Yeah.
But I was too well known. I was the guy up there loud saying, don't go in. But they were with me. So the feds, when they arrested them, indicted them, and they're still facing trial, our guys haven't done a plea bargain yet, so their trials are coming up. They said Owen Schroyer broke into the Capitol and attacked people.
Right.
He was with me. He was trying to stop it.
Right.
So when you see them filing in court things like saying the Loch Ness Monster, you know, is our president, or the Easter Bunny, you know, is real, you're like, it's next level when you're experiencing things that are totally fraudulent, but because you're banned on all the major platforms, you can't respond. They have a blank check. So censorship isn't just about silencing people. You can then steal their identity.
Right.
And you can then say whatever you want in their voice or take things out of context. And that's what's so dangerous about censorship. But now we have Matt Taibbi and the Twitter files, and great job, Elon Musk, and all of it coming out that agencies and governments and big tech with media, we're working in coordination to surveil what people are saying and have been censoring millions of people for years, including during the Trump administration. So that's all coming out. I know you were telling me before we went live here, or before we started taping the show, that you've got some of those clips. But this is just an amazing moment to be alive. Plus, they've got the Proud Boys trial going on in D.C., and just a few days ago, it began to break. They've had federal filings. I've got copies of it. We can do an overhead shot here, maybe, if your guys punch it up, where the feds accidentally gave a bunch of files to the defense with stuff like, we've been ordered to delete 300 plus files. We've been ordered to cover up. They were nonviolent. We've been ordered. Now they're declaring today national security in D.C. saying these are top secret documents. So they are in full, remember the Whitmer kidnapping plot where it turned out the feds, again, accidentally handed over stuff they wanted to cover up?
Yeah.
And it was them ordering, you know, like these potheads to attack Whitmer. And they were like, I don't want to. Can I have money for a Big Mac?
Right.
Can I have a dime bag of weed? It's in the recordings.
Right.
And they never attacked the lady.
Yeah.
So the first group got off, but the second time the judge covered it up, they all got convicted. So the point is the same group that led the attack on Whitmer that never happened were intimately involved, the same unit of the FBI in January 6th. That's not coming. I mean, look at this document.
These are documents that are now being, they're national security. Are they classified? Are they...
Just today, the judge is declaring them classified, but this is the federal filing, so I won't show the classified documents. I'll show the federal filing in here that's now been put up by a bunch of even mainstream journalists like Julie Kelly. It says right here, edit out, they were present, that the feds were there leading the group, and then it describes in one line here, and I guess the crew could probably pull this up, where they say, here it is, Miller's communications with another agent who states the agent's FBI boss assigned to 338 items of evidence I had to destroy.
Why would they want to do that?
Destroying evidence is a felony.
Why would they want to destroy the evidence? Wouldn't they want more evidence?
Well, because they were leading it.
Of course, yeah. Well,
and that's why they're trying to block Tucker releasing the raw footage. And on Tuesday...
And you see these videos of people opening doors, allowing people in the Capitol. There's a video of the QAnon shaman guy with the fucking hat with the horns. He's being led around the Capitol by multiple police, opening doors.
And led into the Senate chamber.
Yeah.
And he thought he was with Q. He thought they were with him and this was a coup.
Right.
I had him on 2 days after. He's like, no, the police were with me. They let me in. We're winning. We're taking over. And I said, no, dude, you've been set up.
Right.
And I felt so sorry for him. Now, 4 years in prison.
Yeah.
Nonviolent. Turns out he's schizophrenic.
Right.
He was kicked out of the Navy for being schizophrenic. I've talked to his family, people that know him. Really nice guy, nonviolent.
Yeah.
And they've now framed a schizophrenic as the leader of a mastermind operation.
Can we play the clip of Alex's War where we have Alex with a bullhorn on January 6th telling people to not be violent? Because this, by the way, will be the first time a lot of people have seen this on a public platform, because it is you telling the protesters at January 6th to not engage.
I was about to say, you're sticking your neck out here because the only place until Elon Musk took over Twitter, this was allowed nowhere.
Right.
And I mean, this is, I mean, obviously, I don't want to attack the Capitol. I don't want to go to jail. What is that? Makes us look like idiots.
Right.
And but they're trying to say, I showed up in the middle of it and was like, what the hell? Don't go in.
Well, I was watching it with friends at my house and I was going, I turned to a friend of mine. And I said, this is fucking absurd that there's a video of you telling people not to attack the Capitol that has never been seen, to my knowledge, by anybody, really. And this, again, is you telling people we're not Antifa. We don't want to burn shit down. We don't want to breach the Capitol. We want to be peaceful and make our voices heard. And it throws the whole narrative about you, about the, you know, what they're calling, obviously, the riot, into question. I've never seen, I've been a conscious human being for, I don't know, 25 years, maybe. And it's shocking to me how quickly this stuff is debunked now. Things would happen. It would take years. But JFK, it took years. People writing books and going to libraries and looking up articles and, you know, hurting their eyes, squinting at these little pieces of paper. Now, within a matter of weeks and months, all of these narratives are collapsing.
And that's what scares me. I'll be honest. It does scare me that I can't get this out anywhere. Obviously, I don't want to attack the Capitol. We wanted to protest and have a 10-day Senate investigation. I showed up. Tear gas literally hit me from 200 yards away. People were climbing scaffolding. I saw riot police. They were attacking police. I'm like, no, 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 don't do it. Then I went to the police and I said, I know you have a loudspeaker system. They use it that night, super loud, like the voice of God. Leave the Capitol. You're not allowed to be here. I went to the police. They got a captain. I said, it's on video.
Yeah.
It's on our... my security had the cop cams, the what do you call those, body cams. And I say, look, I know you have this loudspeaker system that's the voice of God, which is by 7 o'clock at night, leave out of the area, martial law, do not be here. I mean, it's like, I am Oz. I mean, it's super freaking 5,000 dB.
Yeah.
And they said, and we later learned their commanders would not respond for 4 hours.
Yeah.
So they were actually saying, give us the PA system, what I was saying.
Yeah.
And they were just ordered to stand there with their thumbs in their asses. So I don't blame the cops. And, you know, no cops died that day. One guy died of a stroke the next day. I mean, the cops did get attacked. It was wrong. 5 citizens died.
Have you heard that there are suicides with the Capitol Police?
Yeah, that's what happened. That's when the few that died later were suicides and one was a stroke.
Okay.
But my issue is the Attorney General of the U.S. 2 days ago came out and said, 5 officers were murdered that day. Tucker Carlson's lying about the 5 officers. In fact, I know your crew's in there. Guys, find that clip.
Yeah.
It's like 15 seconds. Everybody knows now that nobody died that day but 5 citizens.
Right.
So Ashley Babbitt and others. So they're still, that's what I'm saying. They're saying 5 officers died that day. It's on record they didn't. Like, why are they so confident to lie like that?
Well, because I think the reality is a lot of people aren't paying attention. A lot of people don't have access to the information, right? A lot of people aren't going to...
That's what they're counting on.
They're counting on that. They count on that. I was looking at it. I've now watched a lot of that footage. I've watched it on planes when they're about to take off. I've watched it when I'm in hotel rooms on the road doing comedy. And I'm going, something doesn't make sense. Something's off. You're telling people, do not attack. It's gotten completely away from you. There are people that are being led into this building by, it looks like, uniformed Capitol Police.
100 or they sent more than half the police away from crowd control at the Ellipse, a mile and a half away by the White House where Trump was giving a speech. So you get there, and there's like 50 cops.
Yeah.
It's like a football game, a championship or a basketball game. There's 1 million people there in the town, 100,000 in the stadium, a few hundred riot. You don't blame the whole stadium. So a few hundred did attack the police, who tear gassed them. The police didn't have the numbers they needed. They got attacked. They did get beat up. It was wrong. People like Ray Epps are ramming signs into him saying, go into the building. But he doesn't get in any trouble. And by the way, he told the January 6th commission under oath, I orchestrated the attack on the Capitol. Why is he not indicted?
Yeah.
But my co-host, Owen Schroyer, is.
Well, there's a lot of people that behaved poorly, clearly. There's a lot of people that got excited, agitated, angry. They did not
act.
Mob psychology. They didn't act like a responsible citizen. They didn't do what you asked them to do. But then you also have documents coming out right now saying that this thing potentially you know, or maybe definitely was led by federal informants, federal agents.
Well, I mean, I know people at the highest levels of the Proud Boys trial, and I have the federal filing around here, but again, this is the beauty of the universe.
Yeah.
They literally handed over the secret files of the FBI. They thought they deleted it. It was an attached file. And it's all how they had informants in the Proud Boys. The informants said they're not violent.
Right.
That famous Stuart Rhodes, Oath Keeper, Enrique Tarrio meeting on January 5th in the parking garage. They were talking about defending people, protecting against Antifa. The informants are like, there was no talk of this. They're saying delete the evidence of the informants from the trial.
So they can't find a lot of evidence of a pre-planned insurrection. Like a pre-planned riot, a pre-planned insurrection. Like they don't have evidence of these people conspiring to do this.
No.
Okay.
And so instead, they cherry pick what the informants say and edit out like 90% of it.
Right.
And then so the judge says, well, we can't tell you who the informants are, but here's what they said. And then it's an edited thing the informant said.
Right. When you're there, are you feeling a vibe that something's off, something's getting away from you?
I mean, let me recount that morning.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just give you a straight up recount. I get up at 7 a.m. hungover in a suite at the Willard Hotel. I've been doing interviews the whole night before. We order breakfast. We drink coffee. I have sex with my wife. And I say, I got a hangover. Let's order a bottle of whiskey. So we get like a small bottle of whiskey. We drink it with coffee. My wife goes, I just want to stay here. I don't want to go to this. I'm exhausted. I say, no, baby, let's go. So we walk outside the Willard. That's right with the Ellipse. And it literally takes us an hour and a half with like 15 security, to, like in a mosh pit, to battle through these crowds and get the so-called VIP lane to go in. Because there's a million people outside and 40,000.
Are there? So there's actually a million people at this event.
Yeah, it's the whole, the Ellipse, the monument. It's just right. All, but only 40,000 can get in the actual cordoned off part with Secret Service where Trump's speaking. So it's all surrounded people who can't get in. We have to fight through all that, get in. I'm sitting here going, damn, that whiskey's wearing off. And so we finally get through like a mosh pit. I'm exhausted. My wife's like, I want to go home. I don't like this. Roger Stone's calling me saying, I don't like this. I can't get to the crowd. I'm going home. Blah, blah, blah. It's a clusterfuck. And I sit down for like 3 hours of Republicans giving boring speeches. And my wife's like, my feet are freezing off. Honey, let's just go back to the hotel and take a hot bath. And her instinct's like, I have a bad feeling. She literally says, let's go back to the hotel, I'll suck your dick. Let's just, right. I'm being honest, I'm being humble. This is what conversations are having. She goes, baby, let's just go eat food.
Which would have in hindsight been the better plan.
I mean, she actually said this.
Yeah.
And she's never, women's instincts, like, yeah. I don't like this. I want to go. I don't want to go to the Capitol. And I'm like, baby, shut up. And finally Trump comes out. We're watching all the Republicans peacock behind the stage. We're in the front row. All this stuff's going on. And then the Secret Service, these people, these feds come and they go, Mr. Jones, Trump wants you to lead the march. 30 minutes before he's done, we will open the gate. You will go out to Pennsylvania Avenue and lead the march. And I'm sitting there and I'm already watching crowds that are tired of sitting around us, hearing Trump speak, right. Led by Antifa, led by the feds, led by all this. They're already all marching down towards the Capitol. And I'm going, how do I, with a bullhorn, because my security is waiting outside the bullhorn.
Right.
I go, how do I leave? They go, Trump will be there. Don't worry. It's all a setup. Not by Trump, but by them.
Right.
So finally, they open the gate in the front stage. Trump's still speaking. I'm like, Trump's like 50, 30 feet away, right around the stage. Right. I walk around, and I'm in the back of the stage, and I'm with all these Republicans, and I go, I need to go to the bathroom. And the feds are like, no, Mr. Jones, you got to go right now. Meanwhile, they were timing me to be there right when the breach happened. And I go, no, I got to go to the bathroom. My wife's like, yeah, I got to go to the bathroom. My wife's like, I'm leaving, honey. My feet are hurting. It's so cold out here. I didn't know I wore the wrong shoes. I go, baby, you go back to the hotel. I'll find out what's going on. I don't think I can even leave this march. I'll see you. She leaves with a lady she was with. So one of the event organizers. So I go in the bathroom, take care of things, get out. I'm on Pennsylvania Avenue. Already like hundreds of thousands are marching. And I go, how am I supposed to leave this? I go, this needs to be peaceful. Because people are like, F you, we're going to, you know. So I get up on one of the platforms, one of these big planters, like 20 feet above the roads. So I get up this big tree planter and I go, be peaceful. This is all on video.
Yeah.
Be peaceful.
Let's play that right now because that's a video I want people to see. If we
the only reason I'm taking time is this is the whole, I mean, I'm being honest. Okay. Like, I drank whiskey. I banged my wife.
Right.
I ate, you know, a freaking scrambler.
Right.
I mean, this is like what happened.
Yeah.
And then what happens when I get there is more insane. But yeah, go ahead and play the clip.
Let's play the clip.
Listen to me. We've got a permit on the other side. It's great that this happened, but Trump's not going to come when we've taken this over. We're not Antifa. We're not BLM. You're amazing. I love you. Let's march around to the other side, and let's not fight the police and give the system what they want. We are peaceful. We won this election. And as much as I love seeing the Trump flags flying over this, we need to not have the confrontation with the police. They're going to make that the story. I'm going to march to the other side where we have a stage where we can speak and occupy peacefully. Tell everybody behind you, march to the other side. March to the other side. You guys are better. You guys are great. But the police provocateurs have caused a problem. And the police are throwing flashbangs. We don't want to have a kid state here. So, I love you. We're saving the Republic. This is beautiful. But please tell everyone you know, march to the other side.
Please start to make a pass for us back there.
We're going to march. Trump is going to speak over here. Trump is coming. Trump is going to be on the other side. So march with us, go slow. Come on, man. Yes. Tell people behind you. Come off the stage. We're not stealing the stage with the Democrats, man. You got a great job. Come on off of there. Let's peacefully get USA. USA.
So this is, you know, again, kind of irrefutable. You're there. You're telling people not to breach the Capitol. You're staying to stay. You're saying to stay peaceful. Obviously, it's not working because there's people that are like completely.
Well, most of them can't even hear me. I mean, right. I mean, like the bullhorn goes maybe 100 yards. But what I'm saying is a timeline. You're giving me an opportunity with your huge audience. Right, I want to tell them no. So I'm a mile and a half from the ellipse. And I'm like, how do I lead a crowd? And Trump's because we had permitted by the Supreme Court's right here, the Capitol's here. So in between the Supreme Court and the Capitol, we had a big stage and Trump was thinking he was coming there.
Yeah.
But Trump was set up too. So I'm like, be peaceful. That's another video. 20 minutes before I get there. Then I get there, people are climbing the scaffolding. There's tear gas. I see people falling off parapets. I'm like, I'm in a medieval war.
Right.
And I'm like, I better get up on this pile of chairs. They weren't even unfolded, like a stack of chairs boxed, you know, a bit with plastic on them for like a month from then or a few weeks from then for the inauguration. Yeah. So I climb up on top and say, don't go in. We got a lot of people not to go in because the feds had and the police had opened the doors under orders, not blaming them. They were ordered to do it. And so then I go, well, let's go to the other stage. So I go around and I talk to the police captains and people. I wait for like 10 minutes to talk to them. I go, you got to get on your loudspeakers. You got to say, get out of the Capitol. And then they wouldn't talk. They said, we can't talk to you. And I said, well, what can I do? They said, why don't you go up on the other side? They're trying to break the door in. Most people are just standing there and, you know, talking, but like a few people are attacking the door. They said, why don't you go up there and try to get them out the door? So I go up. I say, get out of here. Come down. It's so noisy. There's all these people blaring other bullhorns. They can't hear me. I looked at my crew and I could see guys with machine guns, assault rifles, pouring in feds. And I said, I need to go home to my children. Let's leave right now. And I marched to the crowd saying, leave. A lot of folks listened to me and a lot of them left. But it was then learning in hindsight how they had 500 paramilitary police dressed as civilians with guns, how they had hundreds of FBI informants. And now we know FBI informants were leading the attack with the CIA. It's coming out in court on the building.
So we're going to find out if these documents are ever made public that there is proof that there is FBI and CIA kind of collusion with people that are on the ground leading them into the Capitol.
Yeah, if anything, Republicans are too pro-war and too pro-state.
Yeah.
But when do Republicans attack police and tear up buildings?
Right.
It doesn't happen.
Right.
We got provocateured into it.
Yeah.
And thank God, because I can see the timing. Not all the Secret Service, but definitely the groups involved.
Yeah.
Because most of Trump's White House was run by deep state by then. Most of the people had resigned, so he only had deep state.
And there are people, no doubt, that were caught up in the fervor and did the wrong thing.
Yes, in the mob madness.
Yeah, for sure.
But we now
know. Not because of what you said. That's what's interesting, right? You weren't saying that. You were not directing it. So if you're not directing it, and the Proud Boy Oath Keepers, if they don't have the proof that they're directing it, who's directing it? That's the question.
Well, Ray Epps said right. He orchestrated it.
Who is that?
He was there for days on all the dozens of videos saying attack the Capitol tomorrow. He was there with ramming the sign of the police. He was commanding everybody.
Yeah.
You see him give orders, like he'll be in the crowd because they're now releasing this footage.
Yeah.
He'd be in the crowd. This is what Tucker was going to do on Tuesday, but they stopped it. And he would go, and like mechanized troops would come in, like military. In Trump outfits.
And
so he would go, red zone, attack, boom.
Right.
And they would just like, boom, like phalanx Roman soldiers attack.
Yeah.
And so they get this giant Trump sign and ram it over the police. And they ram up the doors.
The goal of this is clearly to present the idea that anybody on that side is completely unreasonable, violent, and a terrorist.
Well, that's it. And think of John Wayne movies that are based on real bar fights. I've been in a lot of bar fights, but I've been in two. Somebody punches somebody, it starts, nobody knows, everybody starts fighting. And it was like that. Once you ram over the police, once they tear gas, and once the crowd kind of gets in a fight, most of the crowd was trying to stop it, there's a million people, or hundreds of thousands were there, million in the town, they pour in, then the feds open the doors.
Right.
And so that's what happened.
It's wild. Now, the documents that have been made classified, who is making them classified? And they're saying national security. But they did this again with the Boston Marathon bombing. They put the special administrative measures on the judge and the attorneys, and nobody could really talk about it. Even after saying that those two brothers were not connected to any larger terrorist threat, so it wouldn't necessarily need a national security, wall for these documents to be behind. They are now saying that these documents cannot be seen because somehow it would jeopardize national security.
Yeah, this is breaking news tonight.
Yeah.
Or whenever you're watching this.
Tonight. Thursday. It's coming out Thursday.
So this is a big, big deal. I know people at the highest levels of the defense team for the Proud Boys in week six, still the prosecution in D.C.
Right.
And a couple days ago, when the feds want to bring forward a new witness, they have to then bring forward the evidence.
Right.
It's supposed to be at the start of the trial, but the judge lets them bring it in whenever they want. So they get these documents Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And their people go, hey, it says right here there's attachments that have been put in the trash. So that's the thing. Like you trash a photo on your phone for a month, it's in the trash.
Right.
So the FBI agent, I have the documents right here. We can do an overhead shot. Testified that she prepared these. And in those is 300 plus documents, thousands of pages, and quotes of, I've been ordered to destroy this, because they're covering their ass. That's illegal. But they're saying, I was ordered by my superior. The Nuremberg thing doesn't work, saying following orders.
Right.
And now I'm talking to them about what the documents they've seen before the judge said they're classified. And then we know what else was happening. They had a CIA operative. They had a sex operative. They had informants in with the Proud Boys. The Proud Boys are like, we're here to stop violence and we're here to only have Antifa attacks. That's all been testified to, but they're ordered in the transcripts, the interviews, that the judge lets in and tells the jury, this is secret. It's an informant. You don't know their name, but here's what they said, but it's edited. The informant's like, no, they were all against violence. They're good people. And I got to say, this isn't true. And then right. They only get like, but they did meet with Stuart Rhodes.
Yeah.
And so you read these things. These communications.
And I don't think, I've listened to you for a long time. I don't think you've ever advocated political violence, whether it's on the left or the right. I've never seen you say, let's kill that senator. Let's hurt somebody. Let's do something violent.
No, because that's when you've lost.
Right.
I mean, the pen's mightier than the sword.
Yeah.
And 1,000 years ago, information was more important than physical. It was like 80% of it. Now it's like 95.
Right.
And the Pentagon will say that. But absolutely. But they want to make it violent. They want to make us violent because that discredits us. But I mean, you can read these documents for yourself. This is just the federal filing.
Yeah,
so I'm just reading.
And when was that filed, Alex?
Last night at 11
so
p.m.
This is real, on the minute, breaking news. This has now gone from what would be called a conspiracy theory into what will start to become, for lack of a better word, mainstream news.
Except you have the former head of the CDC saying they made the weapon, COVID's a bioweapon.
And no one cares. It's not being reported.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Miller's communications with another agent who states that agent FBI boss assigned 338 items of evidence I have to destroy. That's a felony.
That is as damning as anything I've really ever seen with regard to January 6th.
And I've been asked by people that are like in the Pelican brief, they're actually scared.
Yeah.
I've been asked not to say what I've been told, but it is CIA, sex operatives. This is not FBI.
Why sex operatives? You'd think that sex operatives wouldn't be used for January 6th. You'd think you'd get more gruff type of like, oh, they're leading the guys. So you're saying sex operatives are leading people.
Well, what you have is a bunch of macho dudes that want to fight for America and stop Antifa. And then
the sex operatives are like the pussies in the Capitol.
Yeah.
Is that kind of?
Well, I mean, it's literally hot women. I don't want to get into the whole story.
Right.
But I had them when I was in like December in Georgia trying to cover the election fraud there. And I was there with one of the leaders, the Proud Boys. And he goes, hey, this super hot chick wants to be with you. A, I'm married. B, I'm not stupid. And I'm sitting there and he goes, no, she wants to be with you right now. And I'm like, this is an infiltrated operation.
Right.
So I'm just at a restaurant. Nothing was open then. Everything was still shut down with lockdown. There was a Hooters that was open. So I went over to this restaurant and I'm sitting there with my security guys and in comes one of the Proud Boy leaders. I'm not going to say who. And he's got this very attractive Amerasian chick with him. And he starts saying, hey, she wants to be with you, blah, blah, blah. I later learned that individual has been linked to the Central Intelligence Agency. And hey, I was married. I was drinking beer. I ate a cheeseburger. I was just like, yeah, sweetheart, I'll see you later. And I've had that happen before, like Trump Hotel, like two women show up at the bar and they go, we want to be with you right now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not Julian Assange, sweetheart.
Yeah.
My dick ain't doing the thinking here.
Right.
Okay. So, and it ain't like I'm like starving for pussy either. So, you know, but the point is that I'm only telling these stories not to impress people. This is an everyday occurrence.
Right.
So then I get these files and I'm like, this woman's name's that? That's the woman in the freaking Hooters trying to get my hotel room.
Right.
So I don't need to know, oh, the lawyers think it's a CIA sex op. I had them try to put her on me.
Okay.
So, Dylan, that's the magnitude of this.
The magnitude's coming out. Tucker was going to do something on it and he was stopped.
I have talked to Tucker since then, but okay. I'm going to reverse engineer this. I'm not going to get into what I talked to Tucker about.
Yeah.
I talked to other sources, and they confirmed that Rupert Murdoch killed Tuesday the federal agent connection, the Ray Epps footage of the feds breaking the building.
Because Tucker's been doing a lot of work on this where he is bringing out a lot of stuff that is not seen anywhere else. You know?
Absolutely. Like he's a trailblazer. He's a hero. He's amazing. And again, the lawyers I know are literally dealing with thousands of pages, just like my lawyer, love him to death, kind of a ding dong. Andino Reynal here in Texas, smart guy.
You believe also that like when you see these big Antifa riots, when you see the level of coordination with a group like that, the fact that, do you believe that like January 6th, you have agent provocateur.
Oh, I mean, the feds,
right?
The Carnegie Endowment, the Ford Foundation runs Antifa.
Right.
But getting back to my Texas trial.
Yeah.
You know, the Sandy Hook trial, where the judge already said I was guilty and all that. I gave my lawyers all my phones. There was nothing to hide. Right. I'm like, here, download it, look for stuff.
Right.
So then my lawyer accidentally sends like a phone, because I have like a new phone every year. They send like 8-9 months of a phone to them. Then they put that out publicly. The Democrat judge does. Fine, whatever. There's nothing. It's not a problem. Nothing. There's an issue. But the thing is, it's a two-way door interdimensionally. That's how God works. Whatever they do first, black magic comes back on them 10 times worse. And you call it black magic. It's how the universe works. When you do something nasty. So now in the Whitmer case, and now in this case, the feds have given the defense thousands of documents with the CIA and running January 6th.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even supposed to talk about this yet because the people are scared, man.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, you put Alex Jones, asked his employees to get him vodka. Oh, he's so embarrassed. Now, look what God just did.
Right.
Your FBI agent just gave the whole January 6th operation in that thing, and they're trying to suppress it. They are in like chickens with their heads cut off. So you see how black magic works?
Yeah,
they can go, Alex, you feel that? You like that? And I'm like, but then they themselves get a sword through them.
That's
it's
right.
not me.
Yeah.
Oh, you slap me. Now Tyrannosaurus Rex stomps on your ass.
Right,
and I've learned metaphysically, there's laws of the universe. As long as I'm good and try to be just and try to be honest and just humble and I try to tell the truth, I get hit. But whoever hits me, I mean, like, it's bad, man. Like, I've had people, I don't want to get into it because it's like voodoo, but it's real. I've had people mess with me and they die in like car wrecks in like a week.
Right.
I mean, it's like, I'm like, hey, you need to watch out, you know, because it's like, I'm for real. And the thing is, anybody that's lived long enough knows there's real laws, man.
Yeah.
Like a video game has laws. This thing has laws. I'm not threatening anybody. I'm saying you mess with me or anybody who's righteous, you're grabbing a high powered line, man.
Yeah.
You're sticking your dick in a light socket.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I hope by having you on here, I get some of that protection from you. I hope it bounces off.
I'm very humble about it, but I've learned it's real.
Yeah. Well, here's what is in
but it's not even protection. Yeah. It's that if they're going to hit you, they got to be willing to get 10 times back.
Right.
Like they're like, it's a study black magic. I'm even into magic, but it's like a metaphysical example.
Right.
In black magic, a black magic practitioner can do something bad.
Right.
But they're going to get 10 times back.
That's right.
So are you willing to freaking do that?
Yes. So we have all this information. We have
By the way, I identify this as a vitamin stick, not as a cancerous thing.
This is not,
I identify as a woman. I can two men can have a baby.
This is made by Pfizer. What I think that
good for you.
Yeah. What I think that people
safe and effective.
Yeah. People don't these are things people don't know about you is that you're fun. You're fun because you're a guy that deeply believes things. And if you're wrong, you'll admit you're wrong.
I've been wrong plenty.
And you'll move on.
But I was never wrong for place of lying.
That's right. You believe things, you go, hey, you know, but so much stuff has come out. I've watched clips of you talking about George W. Bush before he was going to be president and what they were going to do. I've seen you talk about 9/11. I saw you talk about the WTO, the World Trade Commission. Like you walk a beat that very few people do in America. Almost nobody does. And it's got to take a toll on you a little bit.
Well,
then I meet you and you're a fun guy. You love comedians. Comedians love to hang out with you. So you're one of these people, you can enjoy yourself, even though, you know, you're really putting yourself out there all the time in a bunch of different ways.
Well, I was completely honest when I was like in one of like eight depositions in the whole lawsuits against me. And I was completely honest with them, just like I was honest with Joe on his show, like one of the podcasts before last, like 4 years ago. I'm like, I got to a point like 5-6 years ago where I wouldn't even call it a psychosis. I said, it's almost like a psychosis where if I've been lied to so much, I just got lazy. And I said, it's all bullshit.
Right.
And so then I would just say, I don't believe any of it. You can't do that. You got to still analyze each piece. They went, oh, he's trying to do an insanity plea. That doesn't happen in civil cases.
Right.
I was being honest. Like I knew Joe Rogan 25 years ago. I knew Joe was into all this stuff before I was. I know he's probably the most cunning, smart person I know. A great guy, huge heart. I got really mad at him 5 years ago because he was suddenly toeing the line and kind of buying the system with his own delusion. So I got really pissed at him. He later admitted I was right and apologized, but I was more wrong than he was. So like he was kind of a little bit wrong and I went after him and went too far. And then he admitted that. For now, look at him. He's total anti-New World Order. He's going against their whole system. So it was the same process. But I did get to a point where it didn't matter what it was. I thought it was staged. And so when I said those things about other events and things, I really meant that. So they go, oh, you admit you're crazy. Yeah, I am crazy. As in, if the whole world's insane, and then that makes someone that's not insane crazy, fine, I'm crazy.
Right, right. And listen, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, there are people that will never forgive you, or they'll never look at your whole history of work. But then there are people that'll go, this motherfucker's been out there 30 fucking years. He's been talking about real shit for a very long time. And there's so much of it that he's been right about. You should get, you know, the benefit of the doubt. Well,
that's what they do, is they cherry pick.
Yeah.
And they take things out of context. But that's fine. I'm trying to stop World War III.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stop a race.
Which they want now with the Ukraine. They want it with Russia. They want it, like, they want their, they seem to be ratcheting up tensions with China. It does seem to be very weird to see.
We're basically at war with China.
Yeah, the language that's being used. I mean, I remember all these articles in the, you know, New York Times coming out like, can we survive a nuclear war? Maybe it would be good.
And New York Times is, New York, they're running TV ads about, hey, there's a nuclear war. It's no big deal. Just tune into your local app.
Right.
We're not going to have an app once. And I'm glad you went there.
Just download the app. Because
we were about to go on your show today.
Yeah.
And I said, Dylan, can we not really talk about me? And you said, no, let's do January 6th first. But I really think Alex Jones doesn't matter. Let's move to World War III.
Yeah.
Let's, because I'm not trying to direct the interview.
No. I'm with you. I agree with you. Seeing what's happening right now is crazy. Seeing,
because I got kids.
Yeah. Yes.
And all the main actuaries and all the real war planners say nuclear war is becoming a probability. I don't like that.
Yeah.
That'll really mess up my.
And they're telling people to kind of like relax and enjoy it. Like, hey, not a big deal. A couple of nukes. They call them tactical nukes. They're small. You won't even notice it. Don't worry about it. Hey, it might be a good thing. And this is terrifying if you pay attention to this.
Because tacks always lead to full on.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And what they're doing is that when you arm the Ukraine with all NATO weapons, Russia is essentially fighting NATO.
Mm-hmm.
You might, Putin, I don't think he's a good guy.
Well, there's U.S. soldiers there too, yeah.
Of course. I don't support his invasion. I understand why he did it. I understand why he did it when I look at what someone like him would do.
Yeah, if the U.S.
Yeah.
If the U.S. on the Mexican border, the Russians.
Yes.
Had all these troops and weapons, we'd attack them.
Yes. So with the real politic of the situation, you have to step back and go, there is very complicated. They had a CIA coup. They installed Zelensky. It's very strange. Our president's crackhead son has a sweetheart job with an energy company in the Ukraine. We're now funding the Ukraine. Like, a lot of coincidences. But from the beginning, I was like, we should push for an agreement, and we should push for peace, and we should push for less death. And they have said to Zelensky, don't negotiate, ratchet up tensions. We're going to give you missiles. We're going to give you all the weaponry you want. We're going to give you a crazy amount of money, even when we have tremendous problems here at home. And I don't know. And they're trying to bleed Russia dry with this war. It's the Cold War again. They want to bleed Russia dry. And Russia's a nuclear superpower, not an economic superpower, or even really maybe a military superpower, but they have more nukes than anybody else.
And that's really my message to the left and the right, everybody else. I don't want to be a partisan person. I don't want to fight with you. I just want to live. I've got children.
Right.
We are in a hot war with Russia, and it's escalating into nuclear war. And absolutely, it just needs to stop. So, okay.
Just stop the nuclear war. That's all we're asking. For the children.
Absolutely. Because we could talk about January 6th and them setting people up. And that's all important.
Why do they want this, Alex? Why do they walk right up to nuclear war? Is it money? Is it the fact that our economy is based on the military-industrial complex just constantly, you know, printing money, paying themselves? You know, why will they risk what seems to people like such a huge disaster?
Well, you just said it. The financial system and the Ponzi scheme is coming to an end.
It's coming to an end, so it can't, like Uber and all this gig economy shit is not doing it. And they're probably starting to realize that. They're like, yeah, we told people, like, you used to have jobs, now you work for Postmates. Isn't it great? Isn't it the same? It's not. People are angry. And now you're kind of seeing, they're like, oh, we need to go back to our original business, war.
Exactly. War is health of state. And so it's a distraction for the vertical integration, the consolidation, the crime, all of it. That's what tyrants always do when they're in trouble, is they expand a war. Except you can't do that now because of nuclear weapons.
Right.
And so just, what, 6 months ago, there's that famous clip. Maybe your crew can cue it up. In fact, let's see if your crew can find it.
Cue it up, boys.
Well, let's cue up the clip of Biden saying 6 months ago, you can't put Abrams tanks in Ukraine. That'll lead to nuclear war up the threat escalation ladder. But then he did it.
Right.
And now they're training F-16 pilots. And now
they what are they going to do with him? He seems to be in a state of cognitive decline.
I mean, I think that's emblematic. I mean, Fetterman, right. They love that. Fetterman can't even show up. He hasn't been seen in 5 weeks.
Yes.
And so now somebody else votes for him.
Right.
So I think that's the model. I think it's like a brain in a jar. I think he'll probably run again. They'll steal the election. He'll win again. And maybe in 100 years, no one's even seen Biden. It's just like, well, the president's Biden. They'll have some, Chuck E. Cheese animatronic thing. No, I mean, ancient times, they called it a dog king. Or Caligula, or was it Caligula, or was it one of the Roman emperors married his horse?
Okay.
And people said, oh, that was just insane. No, it was insulting the Senate, and he made the horse the regent or the consulate or the president of the Senate.
Right.
So God, it's not Caligula. I'm about to think of it.
Nero?
No, it was Caligula.
Okay.
Wasn't Nero. So look up what Roman emperor made his horse the head of the Senate. He also married the horse. And the point is that this has happened over and over again. It's an insult saying, you're so pathetic, you're so ridiculous, I'm going to make the horse that. So when you've got a Fetterman that can't talk and hasn't been seen in 5 weeks, when you got a Biden who falls down the stairs every time he walks, it's all a joke on us to demoralize us. We have to realize that's not our leader. That's a puppet. That's done to get us to accept new standards. In fact, I've told your crew here on the Tim Dillon Show, found the clip. Here's Biden 6-7 months ago saying we cannot send Abrams tanks to Ukraine.
The idea that we're going to send in offensive equipment and have planes and tanks and trains going in with American pilots and American crews. Just understand and don't kid yourself, no matter what you all say. That's called World War III.
So in the calculus, Tim Dillon, what changed in the last 6-7 months? Now it's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, I guess people sat him down, or he was already sitting down, and they said, listen, we're changing our posture. You know, we're going to ratchet up these tensions. We're going to arm the Ukraine. They can maybe win this thing. And we can bleed Russia out.
I'm going to change your camera shot. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
It's your crew's fault. Keep going. Keep talking.
I agree with you. But I think that's what's happened. And propaganda works really well. We're very good at it as a country. So if people believe that it's morally right and correct to divert billions of dollars from the needs of U.S. citizens to Ukrainians, even though they are going through something horrible and tragic, if people believe that's a morally correct position, and they have certitude, and the people in power are telling them this is the right thing to do, we all know how powerful that is, because a lot of, you know, people want to do the right thing. They want to feel like they are supporting causes that are just. I'm sure the Ukraine cause is just in the sense that they don't want Russia.
Oh, there's
in their
old
country.
Beefs with the Russians.
But there's old beefs. There's so many beefs. There's so much shit going on.
But the point, like, is just being used as a proxy war.
We don't really have a national security interest in that war. We have a financial interest in it.
See, that's the camera shot that's a little crooked. I'm obsessing over this. See, I want things to be right, too.
I agree with you.
Is that camera 7?
Is this January 6th? Who are these people?
Oh, I got it. Okay, I'm fine.
Gotcha.
It's all live. See, I'm directing your crew.
This is a live thing.
I'm being mean to your crew.
We're looking at the people here. Who are they? Do we trust them? Are they agent provocateurs? Are they sex operators from the CIA? We don't know.
But like, seriously, you have a lot of courage having me on, because they don't want this heard. They don't want this discussed. I'm just here like everybody else trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
And the issue is every analyst, every Rand Corporation, Pentagon says the path we're on, it's like a car driving towards a cliff.
Yeah.
We were a mile away from the cliff. Now we're a quarter mile from the cliff. And if we keep driving, we're going to drive off the Grand Canyon.
And then the people in the media are writing articles going, the cliff is good. Don't fear the cliff. The cliff is actually good. So that's what I noticed about, you know, 6 months
Thelma
ago.
Thelma and Louise.
Right, right. 6 months ago, there was a big change where people started saying like, no. We cannot abandon this cause. We need to do everything in our power to defeat Russia. The goal was originally peace. Now it's to defeat Russia. That's a different goal. Tactically, it's a different goal.
Exactly. And the Russians are like, oh, he killed 200,000 Russians. Yeah, and they're doubling down. That's what Russians do.
Right.
So it's on their doorstep. It needs to stop. Even Henry Kissinger 3 months ago is like, this will cause nuclear war. We got to have a peace deal. Now he's like, remove Putin. You have the new Ukrainian defense minister a month ago say, we're going to invade Russia and take over and put tanks in Moscow.
Right.
I mean, so I'm not pro-Russia. I've never been to Russia. It's insane, and I don't even know how to deal with this, because you have all these leftists that used to be anti-war, and so was I. Now they love it. They right. love the prospects.
Well, yeah, ever since the Russiagate thing with Trump, which turned out to be not true, there was this idea that Russia, we needed some type of conflict with Russia, and it was crazy. CDC head boss testified at a congressional inquiry.
Yes.
And they said, this is what we call the Tim Dillon Show final episode on YouTube. So we hope you will enjoy it. This is the final episode here on YouTube before.
Because in America, you're not allowed to show a C-SPAN clip.
Yeah, it's wild to
me. You showed me these clips earlier before we went on air.
Yeah.
You've got that former head of the CDC, Director Redfield, saying it was gain of function and they were lying and they covered it up and he's not part of it. He's literally turning state's evidence. And I don't think you should show this, Tim. No.
But what about the people that want to buy Athletic Greens? We need the views. We need the views, motherfucker. Blue Chew, dick pills. We need the views.
Hey, I sell dick pills.
We're whores for
by
views.
By the way, I love the media saying Jones sells fake dick pills.
What's the worst?
I will assure you our dick pills work.
They work. And what's the worst thing that could happen? Michael Hastings or, you know, hey, whatever. You got to do it. We got to do it. There's nothing more 2023 than dying for a view count. So please show this CDC clip.
Yeah, okay, we got a couple of these. Which one do you want? We've got
the damning one, the one that gets us killed.
Clip 7.
But first,
I'm told,
gets us viewers.
This is the head of the CDC.
Yes.
Testifying, and then we've got Matt Taibbi being attacked for Joe Rogan.
Let's do head of CDC first.
Yeah, let's do that. Here's the head of the CDC.
One other path of questioning for you, Dr. Redfield. Proponents of this research claim it may result in vaccines or maybe even stop a pandemic. Dr. Redfield, has gain of function created any life-saving vaccines or therapeutics to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Has gain of function stopped a pandemic, in your opinion?
No, on the contrary, I think it probably caused the greatest pandemic our world has seen.
Do you find any tangible benefits to gain of function research at this time?
I personally don't, but I do want to stress, I think the men and women that support it are people of good faith because they truly believe it's going to lead to a potential benefit. I disagree with that assessment.
Gain of function research is, let's make scary viruses even scarier. Let's get the government to give us more money and increase the endowments and the budget.
And he just said gain of function caused the COVID pandemic.
Right.
He just said that. And he goes on.
And this, by the way, this is not a crank. This is not somebody we found on 6th Street in Austin, which is lovely this time of year. This is the ex-head of the Center for Disease Control.
Yeah, but I think fact checkers say we shouldn't air this.
Well.
And by the way, we got more clips because I know you showed them to me.
Yes.
We have a bunch of other clips where he went through how he knew it was gain of function. He knew it was a weapon, but they wouldn't let him say it and excluded him from the meetings.
So let's put those on, too, because like if we're going to go out, let's go out in style.
Okay, well, let me look up which clips those were from your list.
The gain of function stuff is now coming out. I remember in the old days when you'd be kicked off social media for saying that stuff, but now it's starting to come out. And people are basically, I think, becoming more aware of the fact that this is not a naturally occurring virus. It was manipulated genetically in a lab. It was manipulated for a reason. And then it might have leaked. Someone might have leaked it. I don't know that anyone's gone that far yet. But I think it's becoming a widely established belief that this idea that it was a bat that, you know, somebody ate a bat in the soup.
No. Hold on. It was a bat. Fauci's God. Let's play the evil C-SPAN clip of a man that needs to be arrested. The former head of CDC. Right. Who does he think he is? He's a shut up. Let's play clip two. Dr. Robert Redfield testifies on three unusual events in the Wuhan lab in September 2019 before they released it. Listen to this bad person. Here it is.
That I will say, if you go back and look, it's declassified now, and I'm sure you all have your classified briefings, but the declassified information now, in September of 2019, three things happened in that lab. One is they deleted the sequences. It was highly irregular. So researchers don't usually like to do that. Second thing they did was they changed the command and control of the lab from the civilian control to the military control. Highly unusual, and I've been involved in dual-use labs when I was in the military. And the third things they did, which I think is really telling, is they let a contractor redo the ventilation system in that laboratory. So I think clearly there was strong evidence that there was a significant event that happened in that laboratory in September. It's now been declassified. You can read it. I'm sure there's more classified information around.
So a significant event.
No, this is disinformation. Yeah. I agree with you, too.
Right. Yeah.
No, seriously.
Take it down.
Yeah, this is evil.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's a worse clip. I mean, this. Listen to this horrible person. Here is...
He's just doing it for clout. The ex-head of the CDC is just trying. He just wants clout.
Yeah, he's not turning against the whole system. I have the quotes here.
That's right.
Where he says he
wants to be a hype beast.
Listen to these quotes. Listen to this horrible person. Redfield explains his rationale, noting that several suspicious events occurred at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in the months preceding. So we just played that clip. But let's play a clip here. Let's play the clip here of clip six. MTG talks the former CDC director Robert Redfield reveals COVID-19 virus was likely created by gain-of-function research, which he admits was going on, which Fauci says it wasn't, even though in the files he calls it gain-of-function, which is illegal, by the way. It's a death penalty.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Dr. Redfield, did you agree, in your opinion, with Dr. Anderson's assessment at the time that this virus did look engineered?
I was concerned because of the presence of the furin cleavage site that we've talked about. And I think it's important to understand what that cleavage site does. That cleavage site totally changes the orientation of the binding domain of COVID. So it now, which could not see the ACE2 receptor, which is the human receptor, it totally changes the orientation now. So it has high affinity for a human receptor. So that furin cleavage site bothered me. It didn't seem that it belonged there. And then when you look at the sequences that it used, and it's beyond the committee, but I know many of you have looked into it, the sequences that they used in those 12 nucleotides for arginine were the arginine sequences, nucleotide triplet, that coded for the human arginine. So why did this virus have the arginine sequences for human there, not bat? It was very disconcerting to me. It looked like this virus was engineered.
Was this
it's a billion
what
years
you're observing and speaking of, is this something that would be in line with gain-of-function research?
This is the best I've ever seen her present it. Usually she goes a little wild, but this she actually seems like on target. Yeah. You know? She can get a little nuts, but this seems like she got the glasses. She's like, okay, she's in the zone. It's a problem. We cooked it up. Us and China, was it a joint effort? Please let me know. It's a little bit of us. It wasn't just China, right?
As much as I hate the communist Chinese, who are the most evil thing on earth,
right?
It's a total setup. About he talks about that in another club.
Yeah,
there's articles in Nature and Science in 2015 when good scientists went, why is the federal government weaponizing coronavirus with a gain of function using HIV spike protein? Which is the cleavage point. It's like the horn or the rhino horn. It's what plugs into the cells. And so he goes through all of that in the clip that this obviously had to be done here because it was done here in 2015. It was a huge scandal. So then Western Money, Bill Gates, Peter Daszak, they talk about it in the hearing. This is not my opinion for YouTube. I mean, you play the clips. They move it to Wuhan, so there's plausible deniability. So obviously the Chinese have infiltrated our government, they're involved, but they allowed it to be taken there to do illegal stuff in a third party country, just like they're doing in Ukraine and in the UK and other places.
Now, all of this may be true, but the vaccine's still good, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, let's just come out and say at least that's good.
It's safe and effective.
It is, and you should get as much of it as you can.
Well, actually, people should research that. They said it was 99% effective, then 96% effective, yeah. then 85% effective, then 67% effective, then 45% effective. And now the new studies are that within 6 months, you have a lower immunity and a higher rate of infection, sickness, and death.
Yeah.
But I mean, listen, I still think you should take it. I'm a big Pfizer.
It's nice to go and get it. You know what I mean?
Well, let's be honest. There's too many people.
There's a lot of people.
I think you should give it to your children.
Yeah.
Double boost them.
Right.
And, you know, those little guys, they're eating too much.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Well,
who's going to lie? We're all sick of these loud ass kids.
Yeah.
Look, it's a legal way to get rid of them.
Okay? Now, you think, because listen, it seems like it's somewhat of an ineffective way.
It's a legal way to get rid of their sickness.
Right.
Which is being alive.
Right. Right. I feel like it's an ineffective way to depopulate the earth. But what I do think is that this was an opportunity for a company to make $1 trillion, maybe every year ad infinitum.
No, but I agree. But then why did they bring something out that was so wonderful? I mean, it did so much good. I mean, the point is you take this shot, you get 10 years on your life.
Right.
By the way, that's a joke, folks. The point is we're still at a point where you're not supposed to talk about this. Remember, we're vindicated that it came out of a lab. We're vindicated that it's not working. We're vindicated, all this stuff. So, you know, imagine the censors watching this feeling all powerful. You're being attacked by it too, dumbasses.
Athletic Greens. No, but I agree.
They do say that vitamins are key.
It's good. You got to take the shit.
I take Athletic Greens.
You have a vitamin in your hand right now.
You gave me an Athletic Green enema this morning.
Yes, we have to. It's more effective. Now, all of this stuff coming out.
You put it in a turkey baster.
Yes, of course. Well, yeah, you have to. We had to put you in stirrups and treat you like a pregnant woman, which you are, because everyone's everything.
Actually, I identify as a woman.
Yes.
And this.
Are you doing anything at South by Southwest?
No, I'm just here.
I mean, that would be a great place to get married, you know? Let's see if Google would let us use their, like, tent.
I think we should do a mock marriage.
Yeah, at the Google tent.
But it should be a polyamory.
Yes.
You and I should.
And Roseanne.
What's a four thing? A quad amory?
I don't know.
We should all marry a Pfizer shot.
I don't know what the fourth thing is. Find a fifth grade textbook.
A guy in a
yeah.
Remember that Stephen Colbert really cringe thing with the dancing dancing
syringes?
Yes,
the dancing syringes.
We should marry a dancing syringe. I'm serious.
Yeah. What do you think? Does this ever collapse? Maybe not. I used to think it would collapse under its own weight. Now, will it collapse under its own absurdity? You just talked about dancing syringes, lying in your face, the most insane things we've ever seen, the most cringe examples of
fealty. And then using social media, if you don't agree with a lie, you're going to be censored. Yeah, I think like the Soviet Union, it's just going to die of its own absurdity because the operatives in the system, they've had over, in the last 2 years, it's been reported, over 10,000 FBI whistleblowers to Congress.
Right.
It all gets hidden, they all get attacked. But that tells you, like, I don't want to, like, worship the FBI by saying they're not the enemy. It's an agency that's captured. If I'm on an airplane and a radical Islamic or whoever hijacks it, I don't blame the airline. Like, that's a real pilot.
Right.
So, I mean, we're on a hijacked country. The agencies have been hijacked. And I'm just saying, can we please get off this thing? And so I want to reach out to the agencies and reach out to the corporations and reach out to people and say, listen, this is kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
Can we just stop now? Can we just stop it?
Calm it down. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm shocked at the amount of people that for whatever reason are still buying a lot of
people that are against vitamins.
Well,
I identify this as a vitamin stick, vapor stick.
Yeah.
But I identify this as eternal life.
Do you think?
Are you going to, my pronouns is nicotine.
Yes.
Are you saying this isn't good for me?
No, I think it's phenomenal for you. It's
you're validating me.
I'm validating you.
You're not being nicophobic.
I'm not being nicophobic. Boy, we got to be careful with that word. But here's what I will say.
We just coined a term.
Yes. Nicophobic. I'm sure Susan Wojcicki is loving this.
She just lost her job, by the way.
Did she? I don't pay attention. Who's doing it now? Meghan Markle?
Probably.
Yeah. It's the Spotify.
Did you love the South Park on them?
Well, it's great. You know, I have a bit about it on stage now. It's absurd. It's insane. And we're made to, we need a dose of victimhood all the time. No matter.
Oh, you poor royals with hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's horrible. You're living in a castle. It's horrible. Because what it does is it demoralizes people. And that's what they seem to kind of want. They want people demoralized so that those people don't really have to, you know, proceed in a way that would ever result in these people losing any power at all.
I totally agree. Yeah. And the final sponsor, GreedyPossum.com.
Greedy Possum. What's Greedy Possum? Tell us.
Greedy Possum is a weapons system for the Martians where they sell you... mind control devices.
Well, I like this a lot. GreedyPossum.com, Infowars.com, Band.video.
By the way, I've not looked up GreedyPossum.com. Is that even a website?
No, if it's
should be careful before we
please, start. We can edit it out if it's a problem. Alex Jones, the king of Austin, Texas. Is it Joe Rogan or you? It might be you.
I think it's Joe.
Well, I'm going to say it's you for history's sake.
So it's like a planet and a bigger thing eclipses. It's fine.
I know. All right.
That's no, okay. Joe's bigger than Alex Jones.
Well, you
but
know,
Joe's telling the truth. So it's kind of good to just sit back. You kind of, that's what you expect, like you causing influence.
Yeah.
Then people wake up, then big things happen. You got to kind of learn to go away.
Well, it's going
to
be fun. The comedy club's open. Thank you so much for letting me do this. I appreciate it. The second part of the episode is out on Patreon. You are really an amazing, eloquent person who has looked into this shit for many, many years. And people that think they know you should probably look into your stuff.
And now. They don't know we're married.
And they have no idea that we're married, but they will because Bill Gates at South by Southwest is going to give us, we're renewing our vows.
We should get married on TV.
If we can get married at South by Southwest, I'll absolutely come.
We're getting married. Joe will be the priest.
You hear that, CAA? We're getting married. Good night.